I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being made a curse for us. There are many cries today of the people around the world. Many are crying for justice from America over this cold-blooded killing of children, even down to our own country in the Philippines for the killing of those suspected drug dealers. Cries for justice over some abuses of women in China, and even down to some concerns of accusation of rapes in India. Cries for justice in the invasion of Ukraine, and even massacres from now and then in the continent of Africa. Everyone cries for justice, seeking for a just judgment of those people who commit the crime. And yes, we do need a fair, without discrimination, judgment, and we seek for that in every society. But as Christians, as believers, we understand that the truth or the fair judgment is only achieved when the just judge will come, and that is in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when He comes, everyone will appear before Him, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that judgment will see everything that we have done on earth. Nothing can be hidden. Nothing can be exempted. Nothing can be excused. Everyone has to open up everything what we have done. In fact, we will be left speechless. We cannot say any excuses. We cannot say any alibis. We cannot point fingers. Everyone has to come before His holy presence and be judged. And because He knows everything in our lives, from the beginning even unto the end, we shall all be judged. We shall all be condemned. Not one will be excused. Not one will be exempted. Everyone, even Mary, even the apostles, even the people in the Old Testament, all those prophets, even Abraham, if they are to face the just judgment of God based on their works, not one can say, I am worthy to be exempted. All will be condemned. All will be cursed. And that curse, that condemnation will be for eternity. So when this judgment will come, and that judgment will truly be based in the works that we have done, everyone will be in the lake of eternal life for eternal fires for eternity. Forever. No one will arrive in heaven. No one will come to enjoy that blissful place in God's kingdom. All will be cursed. All will be condemned. But we thank God that the Lord has His own plan. Our God, Father, has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world that He who is sinless, He who is just, He who is blameless, He who has done nothing amiss, will be made a curse for us, will receive all the penalty that we deserve. will be placed on the cross to face the wrath of God, which should be upon all of us. He's being made a curse for us. And that's the reason we who have truly believed in the Lord Jesus had that hope, has this assurance that we shall not be facing judgment. For there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. How we must thank the Lord. And that's why everyone who truly have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have faith in Him can say, Lord, I am yours. Thou hast purchased me. Thou hast bought me. Thou hast saved me. And everything that you want from my life, I should give. I should not withhold anything just to satisfy and content my life here on earth. Everything that you want from me, I should give. Because thou art made curse on my behalf. And we thank the Lord that this is His good plan. Here in Galatians chapter 3, we have this context in verse 11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Yes, if we seek to be justified, if we seek to be cleared, if we seek to be forgiven by our own works, by how we live our lives, by how we behave, by how we give, by how we try to serve the Lord, by how we show others of our tender loving care, by our charitable works, even all the things that we have, even if we offer ourselves to be burned on behalf of others, even if we give ourselves to be crucified on behalf of others, these things cannot earn any single merit. No man is justified by the law. No man is justified by the works of the law. Justification is a legal act of God. It is imputed unto us because the Lord Jesus Christ has done all for us. He paid the penalty of our sins. And we who receive such justification, we are declared as if we have not sinned. Yes, we are guilty, but we shall not be condemned. And that is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is only through trusting in Him. That's why Paul says here, the just shall live by faith. Only those who live according to the grace of God given to us, believing in Him, are justified and can be called just. Not one can declare themselves as just just because they have done something for the Lord. It is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in verses 12 to 14, in our topic on being made a curse for us, we shall look at this in three different questions. The first question that we should ask is in verse 12. Because Paul says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Maybe we ask, why is there a need for somebody to be made a curse for me? Why can't I just do things for my own? Why can't I just desire to live a good life in my own ways? There was one friend of mine during my secular days, one from Egypt. And he told me, you're a Christian? I said, yes. You are weak. You're a weakling. Why do you need for somebody to do some good works for you in order to be saved. Why do you need somebody to save you? Can you not just do it by yourself? He was proud and told me, I have done my best. I'm always praying. I'm doing good. I'm trying to escape from vices. I have lived my life enough to satisfy his God, he says. And I told him, well, maybe you are that strong. But for 30 years of my life in the Roman Catholic Church, I have tried everything, but I have not done anything to merit even one to earn salvation. I need Jesus Christ. A witness to him, he did not believe, of course. But this is what people see us as Christians. Jesus is our crutch. We are frail, weak people who need somebody to take care of us and do something on our behalf. And of course, it is needful. That's why this question on why there is a need for someone to be made a curse for you and me must be answered in the way Paul tells us here in verse 12. He says, the law is not of faith. What is this law? Of course, he was referring to the work of the law, the works of the law. It is not of faith. And he just declared to us that not one can be justified by the works of the law. No one can be saved. No one can be forgiven. No one can be excused. No one can be cleansed by his own works. We need somebody to pay the penalty of our sins. There must be someone who will become a curse for us. Someone who will receive the penalty. Because as we work and hard and make ourselves to be saved, we know that in everything that we do, even how good it is, there is this stain of sin. And I realize that it is very true. During my decades of life as a Roman Catholic, I first believed that I can be saved by my own works. I trusted what I have given to the church. I thought that I was so dedicated and devoted to the church. I trust myself. I trust what I have done. I trust what I have given. So that there was a time that I really was so confident that if somebody will ask me, are you really going to heaven? I said, yes. And I even told them that even before I come, I arrived, St. Peter would say, oh, here is this good man. Welcome to heaven. And he will open the gates for me. That's how I trusted what I have done until the Lord Jesus told or showed me in a very experiential way by which God showed me how wicked, how sinful I am. Well, I say I was because I am cleansed, but still this sinful flesh still tries to pull me out of the way. And during that time where I realized that I cannot do anything for the Lord and my hope was crushed because I went to another country, I lived there alone, my wife was not with me, and you know how sinful men are. And God showed me how wicked this heart of mine is. And that night when I realized it, I could not sleep. I could not sleep for several days and several nights. Because I know that if God would have taken me that time, I would plunge hell. I would be there. Because I know what I have done. I tried to deceive myself, assuring my own heart that I have done good. Yet I know within my own heart how I have sinned against the Lord. And now God showed openly, exposed to many people, how sinful I am. And therefore, when I saw it, I realized that I need someone to save me. I thank the Lord that during that week, somebody told and shared to me the gospel. John 3:16. There's a simple verse to many of us. But I realize how much I need to believe in Him and what He has done for me. The works of the law is not of faith. And if it is not of faith, it is not possible to justify. If it is of works, it has nothing, it cannot merit anything for me to be saved, for you to be saved. And here the Apostle Paul tells us in the next phrase, the man that doeth them shall live in them. And here it is bluntly expressed to us why we need a Savior, why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us here, the man that have done it or have started and begun to do it must continue to live according to the works of the law in order to be saved. This word doeth here is in a Greek tense that describes a simple past that shows if you have started doing it or have done it in the past, then you must continue it. But actually, Paul here describes that not one person on earth have even started to have done it in the past. No one have started to do good and then continued on. No one can continue because no one have started. No one can do anything for his own to start a work that will merit the justification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our default system is always to do what is wrong. We are bound to sin. And that is clearly described for us in Romans chapter 3. As what Paul describes here in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the nature and character of everyone on earth. Whether you deny it, whether you say you are better or a person who is quite good and have not done what is described here, you are sinful as this man here described by the Apostle Paul. We cannot do anything for our salvation. Our default system is to always do wrong, always to do sin. That's why we need someone to save us. We cannot save ourselves. We are all like people in the cell, in the prison, in the jail. You cannot come out of the jail and say to other one, the other next jail, to tell him, come out. Or get out of there and I will replace you. He himself is inside the jail. All of us. Not one can replace any person to be delivered out of this curse and condemnation. Why? Why should there be one who will become a curse for us? Because not one can satisfy. Not one can do a merit, even a single merit, in order to get a favor from God for him to be justified. He needs someone to come and to live a perfect life. And here on earth, after living a perfect, sinless, blameless life, gave himself to die on the cross. And on that cross, he paid all the penalty of our sins. It is only through faith that we can be saved. It is only through faith in what he has done for us that we can be forgiven. That is what God wants us to do. It is only by faith. That's why if any one of us here who tries to make ourselves a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet at one point still trust in what he has done in the past, or still trust in what he is doing now, or still trust in what he can do later in life, that is nothing. You cannot mix faith and works of the law. As Calvin says, you can unite water and fire, but never the justification by faith and the works of the law. The next thing that we can see here in verse 13 is a simple question of who is this person, who is this being who shall be made a curse for us? Of course, for us it is very obvious. Here it says Christ. It is Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Not Mary, not the saints, not the denomination, not our church, not our own pastors, not even leaders of this BP movement, but it is Christ alone. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The word here, cursed, is a great curse. It is a great wrath of God upon those who sin against him, and therefore those who are hang on a tree is to experience this great curse. And this was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. And we all understand the word redeem, to purchase, to buy, to take us with a price. And with this redemption that he has done for us, he has bought us. Not that he paid Satan, not that he paid anyone, that he can take us for himself. He received that penalty that we deserved to satisfy the wrath of the Father upon us. And we have to understand the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he redeemed us. This is something that we take lightly because we hear it Sunday after Sunday, every Bible study, every fellowship meetings. We sometimes take it lightly to pray the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, died for us, paid the penalty for our sins. But if we have to understand this redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, what great agony and pain did he receive and did he went through on the cross. Because he did not just die for us. He died on behalf of those people from the time of Adam and Eve, even for the last man here on earth to believe in him. His death is sufficient for all. His atonement is for all of us. That's how he offered himself to die on the behalf of the people of this world. You know, in the Philippines, there are those who try to sacrifice during Good Friday. And they try to make themselves be crucified. Of course, these are gimmicks to attract people and that so that he can be paid. Some maybe sincerely trying to pay off their sins as if they can do it by having themselves crucified on the cross. Even during our time when we were young, we have to, you know, every Good Friday there is this march and bringing of the saints around the town. And always our parents would tell us, don't wear any shoes, don't wear any slippers. You know how hot it is during April in the Philippines. Sometimes it reaches up to 40 degrees. And you know our roads are made of asphalt. And during this time, sometimes it will melt. That's how hot it is. And if you walk barefooted, it's really a sacrifice. And we did it because we thought that by doing it, we can expiate, we can atone. At least we can pay for our sins. But these are all nothing. These are all vain. Here only Christ can redeem us. Only Christ can pay the penalty of our sins. Only Christ can buy us back. Only Christ can redeem, purchase us. And only Christ can save us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And this curse is not just a curse of the acts that we have done. It is the curse also that we deserved as we received that original sin from our parents. From our first parents. And that curse is paid. That's how great the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And many young people take it lightly. So just don't give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, trying to make easy lives, pleasurable lives, because they think that, well, Christ loved me, desired to save me, and He did it all for me. As if He has something that really attracts the Lord Jesus Christ and moves the Lord Jesus Christ to save Him. Not one of us can claim that we have something that caused Christ to save us. It's only by His own pleasure, His own will, that He has chosen us. Not by our own works. When He chose us even before the foundation of this world, we have not done anything. We were not even born. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we know the curses that God has given, declared, even from the beginning in the book of Genesis. How when He commanded Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The moment, the time you will eat, thou shalt surely die. In death you shall die. And you have done it. And there was the curse of the ground. There is a curse for man. And in Deuteronomy we know and we hear these curses also pronounced to those who disobey the laws of God. To those who contrary does the work of God and does the work of evil. We need to understand how we should acknowledge the great work of redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being made a curse for us. And this is the idea of He was a curse on our behalf. He represented us. It's as if we are to face judgment and we are to be punished. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, okay, you can stand aside. I will receive your punishment. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And how we should glorify God on what He has done. And how we should give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in His work on the cross. Nothing can be achieved by our own works. Nothing can be achieved by the works of the law. And when we talk of the works of the law here, it refers to how we strive to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Yes, we have to, as Christians, let us be reminded of that. Let us not think that because we are already believers, we are under grace, that we have to throw away the Ten Commandments and all the things that we have to do and obey and the Word of God. We have to do it, but it is not the way for our salvation. We obey God because He has saved us. We earn no merit in obedience of the Ten Commandments. It is but our obligation and our duty and our love for the Lord that we obey God's command. Please don't be deceived by this hyper grace theology that says, well, we are under grace and you don't have to do the work and do the law. We are not saved by the works of the law. But when we are saved, we are being equipped to fulfill the works of the Lord. We are regenerated. We are made alive. We can now do. We are now released out of the bondage. Our default system is now changed. We can now do what is right because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. That should be our desire to live for Him. And when He redeemed us, how we should dedicate our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is there a need for us to, for one to be made a curse for us? Well, we cannot at any point or anything or any measure save ourselves. And who is this who is being made a curse for us? Of course, we all know the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Not the saints, not Mary. In the past, when we were taught of how we should trust the saints, we were told of this interrogatory works of the saints and these works that they have done because they have done more good than what is required to enter heaven. Extra good works are now deposited in the church, in the Roman Catholic Church, and that's what we are looking after and seeking after when we devote ourselves to these saints, to that saint. That's why our names are always with the saint's name, in order for us to be associated with the saints, hoping and trying to, get favor from these saints whom you got the name, so that you will receive some good points from Him, and somehow it can outweigh your bad deeds. And His good deeds will be greater than, because it is being given to you, and you can be saved. No way. There is no way. But the last thing that we have to consider here in verse 14 is that what are the benefits and what we shall receive when Christ is being made a curse for us. Of course, we know that we will be saved. But here Paul describes this blessing of Abraham. What is this blessing of Abraham? We know in Genesis chapter 17 how here Abraham believed the Lord and it was counted for him as righteousness. It was his faith that was counted as righteousness. It was not his obedience. His obedience was an act that was manifested because he believed. He was not saved because he went out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was not saved because he offered Isaac. He was not saved because he did all the things that God had told him. All these were results because he believed God. And when he believed God, it was counted for him as righteousness. The blessings of Abraham. And so for us also, when we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this blessing of righteousness, as the robe of righteousness will be put on us, we will be seen by God the Father as cleansed, perfect, because we are having that righteousness of Christ, not our own. And you should not add anything to this robe of righteousness. Spurgeon says that if you add even a stitch of this robe of righteousness, you are not saved. You are not saved. Even a stitch of it. You should not add anything. You should give all the glory to Christ. He is the one who saved us. He is the one who cleanses us. He is the one who forgave us. This is the one who redeemed us. It's all of Christ. And it's all of grace. That's why we have to give the glory to Him. And this blessing that we receive is not out of our works. It is out of faith. And we should understand that this faith also that we believe God is by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. It's not even our works. It's not even our own. Do you strive to believe? You try to force yourself to believe? Do you motivate yourself to believe? Do you push yourself to believe in God? Did you? If that is the way you believe, that is fake. It is by the grace of God that caused you to believe. It is the grace of God that caused us to understand what it means to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the grace of God that put in our hearts to know that we are sinners and that we are all going to hell and to that lake of fire. It is by the grace of God that tells us that there is hope in Christ. It is the grace of God that opens our mind to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why there is no way for us to manipulate those people when we evangelize. We cannot bribe them. We cannot give them money and believe. We cannot even bring a gun to let them believe. They will just say yes, but there is nothing that will happen if you just use all this force. It is by the grace of God. Not even the act of faith is our own. It is by the grace of God. We have to understand this. And when we realize this, we have to give all our lives to Christ. Because even this act of faith is not mine. It is of the Lord. That's why when He calls any one of you, especially you young people, you cannot dare say no. You cannot say no. Because your salvation is all of God. And if he will say to you, come and serve me, you cannot say that, Lord, I think I need something to do first. You know, you were given that grace in order for you to believe. And there is no point for you to say, no, Lord. That blessing of Abraham will come. And that will be a blessing to the Gentiles, as Paul describes here. And this, another blessing, is that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit. What is this promise of the Spirit? Well, we understand that the Spirit will indwell every believer. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will indwell in us. And this indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a mighty work that God has given us. Imagine God in us. Have you realized that? The Holy Spirit indwelling in us. So when we sin, we should tremble. When we do evil and wicked things, even in our thoughts and in our hearts, we should tremble before God. Lord, how come I am indwelt by the Spirit of God, perfect? You yourself is indwelling in me, the third person of the unity of the Trinity. How can I do this evil thing? But we do it. I do it. I did it. And I ask God, Lord, please help me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Every time, every minute of the day, we always have to be confessing and repenting. Because we know we have done this. And how dare we do this when we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We should not do this if we truly understand that we are being indwelt by God Himself. Not only that we are indwelt, when we ask God to fill us, this Spirit will fill us so that we can be moved, we can be carried through, we can be guided, we can be comforted, we can be strengthened. It's only by the Spirit of God that we can do things. It's only by the Spirit of God that we can glorify Him. If we do things in the service by our own strength and our own might and our own mind and our own ability and our own talent, these are nothing before God. But when we do things in the Spirit, this is pleasing before God. Because this is His work through us. The promise of the Spirit indwelling us, in us, and filling us so that we can do more for the Lord. This is what we should pray as a church. That we should not only be indwelt by the Spirit of God, but everyone will be filled by the Spirit. That everyone will be moved to do what He wants, what the Spirit wants him to do in the service of the Lord. We don't want to wait for elders and leaders to call us to serve. We are always there. And the Lord can move us, can work in our hearts. How we should pray that every one of us, all of us who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, can be filled by His Spirit so that we can work according to His guidance. We will be like a sailboat, be moving according to His guidance. But it's with understanding. It is with wisdom from God's Word. It's not just moving along. It is with the wisdom from the Word of God. Why? We cannot do it ourselves. Surely, one who trusts in himself to be justified by his own works will end up in hell. Even if you say you have faith and you add something, surely you will always be, or you will still be condemned. Who, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ alone? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't add anyone. Don't add Mary. Don't add the saints, don't add anything, even the denomination, even our own church. What are the blessings? Well, this blessing of Abraham, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to us as a robe, where we are truly seen by God as cleansed and pure and forgiven. And the promise of the Spirit of God that we might be indwelt and be filled so that we can serve Him more and more and better and better. But there are now in the churches in modern Christianity that tries to redefine this idea of justification by faith alone. And sadly, there are many evangelical churches that are caught and deceived by this new doctrine. I believe some of you are aware of what they call as New Perspective on Paul, NPP. And this was just a theological debate during a time in the late 70s. In the 80s, it caught fire in some of the mainline denominations. In the 1990s, and even now, It is impacting and many are influenced in the evangelical churches. New perspective on Paul. What is this? Simply, this is a denial of the justification by faith alone. New perspective on Paul tells us that the Reformers' view of salvation by faith alone is a mistake. That when Paul was telling us here that the works of the law will not do anything, he was not referring to the good works. He was not referring to the moral works. He was just referring to the boundary markers. And that's what they call for those practices like circumcision, like Sabbath keeping, like food. And that is welcomed by some of these evangelicals because, of course, we have known that Judaizers, right? When we know of Judaizers affecting the Galatian churches, we think of circumcision. So they say, see, what Paul was debating against these Judaizers was the act of circumcision. He was not saying you didn't have to do the works of the law by doing good works. You have to do that as part of your salvation, but not circumcision, not Sabbath keeping. I hope I do not confuse you with all this, but one thing that we should just understand with this new perspective on Paul, be aware, be careful, don't be deceived. It is so subtle that it can sometimes deceive you to think, well, what? I think he's right. But please understand, this is a false doctrine. They tried to say that the Reformers misunderstood the idea of Paul when he talks about the works of the law. They just say, when Paul tells us of the works of the law, he was just talking of circumcision, Sabbath keeping, and the choice of food. They said it remained that we should do a part of our salvation. We should work out and we should keep the commandments in order to be saved. That's why Anglican, Roman Catholics are for this. Sadly, many evangelical churches are embracing this, because this sounds very attractive to the pride of man. I can contribute to my own salvation. That's the pride of man. Why should I trust only in Christ and have done anything? Why should I just say Christ is all and he's all by his grace and I have done nothing? Pride of man says, I can contribute. I can be a part of my salvation. I can do something. Look, Paul was not telling us not to do the works of the law by doing the good works, obeying the Ten Commandments. He was just telling us not to fulfill the circumcision, which the Judaizers, when they tried to deceive the Galatians. But we know and clearly see this. If that is the case, then what was the Lord Jesus Christ stood for to be the curse of the law? Did he die just for us to be exempted from circumcision? Did he die just because for us not to keep the Sabbath or the Saturday as Sabbath day? Did he die because he now allows us to eat pork and all this seafood? Was that all for Christ's death? No. He died for our sins. It is not just for those boundary markers. He died to save us from all the sins, the faults, the transgressions that we have done. And this undermining of this thought of works of the law, the justification by faith, is not anymore what is told in this NPP. It is causing, undermining, taking light of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. For me, it is blasphemy. Jesus was made a curse for you and for me to save me from all my sins, from all your sins. And I pray the Lord will help us to understand this. And when we truly understand this truth, how we kneel before Him and say, Lord, because you have done all for me, I am all yours. I am all yours. Why should I look for things for myself? Why should I look for things that would satisfy me? Thou hast saved me. I am all yours. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast reminded us of the great work of salvation through Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there are many in the world today that tries to undermine and take lightly of what Thou hast caused Your Son to suffer on that cruel cross. Father, we pray that You'll preserve our hearts and our minds not to be taken in by these false teachings, but we'll continue to trust in what Thou hast written in Thy Word. Help us, Father. This world, even Christendom today, is so wicked and evil that it tries to remove Christ. And we have now so many of the churches around us, Christless churches. Oh, Father, may You spare this church from that kind of state. And we pray that we will continue to abide with Thee, love Thee, and glorify Thee in our lives. For we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.